What if you could get 30% more power from the exact same factory roof space? This week, Chinese solar giant LONGi hit a record 34.85% efficiency with a new type of solar cell, while competitors are already shipping commercial modules powerful enough to break the 900-watt barrier. Perovskite solar technology is no longer a laboratory curiosity. It's a commercial reality, and it's happening now. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology shaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're doing a deep dive into one topic, the sudden, explosive commercialization of perovskite solar cells. For years, this was a next-generation technology. Now, in June 2026, we're seeing a flood of announcements on record efficiencies, gigawatt-scale production, and the first commercial orders landing in Western markets. The race is on, and it has profound implications for energy costs, supply chains, and industrial competition between the U.S., Europe, and China.
Exactly, Susie. We're moving from R&D to industrial strategy. The key questions for executives are no longer if this technology will arrive, but how quickly it will dominate, and who will control the manufacturing capacity.
Let's start with the European front. UK-based Oxford PV has been a leader here. Troy, what's their latest development?
They just announced a 25.6% modular conversion efficiency in collaboration with Germany's Fraunhofer Institute. What's significant is how they did it. They're using a matrix shingle design for their perovskite silicon tandem cells.
Okay, break that down for us. What is a tandem cell and why does a shingle design matter?
A tandem cell is essentially a two-layer solar cell. A thin, semi-transparent perovskite layer is placed on top of a traditional silicon cell. The perovskite captures high-energy blue light, and the silicon underneath captures lower-energy red light. Together, they harvest much more of the solar spectrum than silicon can alone, breaking its theoretical efficiency limit. The shingled architecture overlaps these cells, eliminating the need for copper interconnects, which reduces internal resistance and simplifies manufacturing.
So for a US or European manufacturer considering rooftop solar, this means more power per square meter. How much more?
Significantly. Oxford PV is targeting 26% efficiency for commercial products this year. Compare that to standard silicon modules, which are typically in the 21-23% range. That's a 15-20% immediate jump in power output from the same area. Furthermore, at Intersolar Europe 2026, they unveiled their Gen 3 cells, aiming for a 15-year operational lifespan, with a roadmap to a 30-year lifetime by 2030.
So the longevity concerns are being addressed. What's the actionable insight here?
Western executives planning major capital projects with a renewable energy component should now factor in the availability of these higher efficiency modules. Your energy models and ROI calculations from 2025 are already outdated. Engaging with suppliers like Oxford PV now for projects slated for 2027 could provide a serious competitive advantage in operational energy costs.
That's the European picture. But the story that's really shaking the industry is the speed and scale of China's move into mass production. What are we seeing there?
We're seeing a full court press, backed by national strategy. China's Ministry of Industry and Information Technology just added projects from GCL Optoelectronics and Qizhou Fiber Nano to its 2026 National Smart PV project list. These aren't R&D pilots, Suzy. GCL is reporting a stable mass production efficiency of over 26.8.
Mass production at nearly 27% efficiency? And you said these are large modules, not tiny lab cells?
Correct. These are industrial scale modules. To put that in perspective, Trina Solar, another Chinese major, just secured its first commercial order for perovskite tandem modules in New Zealand. These modules have a certified peak power of 907 watts and 29.2% efficiency. This is the first time Chinese-developed tandem products are hitting the global high-end residential market.
This sounds like a huge threat for any aspiring US or European solar manufacturer. How can they compete with this scale?
It is a formidable challenge. China already has gigawatt-scale perovskite production lines operational. For context, multiple megawatt-scale perovskite power plants have been running there for over a year. The message for European and U.S. manufacturers is that the window to establish a foothold is closing fast. Competing on volume and cost with companies like GCL or Trina will be nearly impossible. The focus must be on specialized, high-value applications or disruptive manufacturing processes.
And what should Western trading companies and distributors do? Is it time to pivot to Chinese suppliers?
They must engage immediately. Distributors need to understand the product roadmaps, warranty terms, and availability from these Chinese giants. MicroQuanta, for example, is already offering 26% efficient colored tandem modules for building integrated PV, complete with a 25-year power warranty. Any distributor not having these conversations is at risk of being left with an uncompetitive product portfolio by 2027.
So China is scaling rapidly. What's the strategic response from the US and Europe? Are they just conceding the market?
Not at all. But the strategy is different. It's less about building a parallel manufacturing ecosystem from scratch and more about smart integration. This is what David Ward, the CEO of Oxford PV, called the stealth disruptor approach at Intersolar Europe.
A stealth disruptor? What does he mean by that?
He means that perovskite on silicon tandem technology can be integrated into existing silicon solar cell manufacturing lines. A factory doesn't need to be ripped out and replaced, it can be upgraded. This dramatically lowers the capital expenditure required to get into the high-efficiency tandem market. He predicts this approach will lead to gigawatt-scale production in Europe by 2028.
That's a powerful idea. It leverages decades of investment in silicon manufacturing. We're seeing a similar strategic move in the U.S., right?
Precisely. Look at Hanwha Qcells, a South Korean company with a huge U.S. presence. They just completed their vertically integrated solar hub in Cartersville, Georgia, making everything from ingot to module domestically. This allows them to maximize manufacturing credits under the Inflation Reduction Act. Crucially, while they build out their U.S. silicon capacity, their pilot line for perovskite tandem cells is running in South Korea, preparing to integrate that technology into their future product lines.
So the Western play is to use government incentives, like the IRA, to strengthen the existing silicon base, then upgrade those facilities with perovskite technology to leapfrog ahead in efficiency.
That's the strategy. The U.S. Department of Energy is backing this with a new $40 million commitment across 22 perovskite initiatives. The actionable insight for executives is to watch these integrated players. Companies like Hanwha Qcells in the U.S. and startups leveraging existing infrastructure in Europe are the ones most likely to offer a competitive alternative to the Chinese behemoths. Partnerships with them could be key.
All this rapid scaling must be creating new bottlenecks. Troy, what's happening in the supply chain for the raw materials?
This is a critical point that's often overlooked. As we move from lab-scale cells to industrial production, the material requirements change dramatically. A key example is a material called C60, a form of carbon, used in the electron transport layer.
The electron transport layer, in simple terms?
It's an ultra-thin layer that efficiently moves electrons out of the perovskite crystal to generate current. The article from CarbonSphere notes that the lab-grade C60 used for experiments is inadequate for mass production. For commercial modules that need to last 20 years, you need ultra-high purity C60 with a completely traceable supply chain. Even minute impurities can cause the panels to degrade quickly.
So a new market is emerging for high-purity industrial chemicals. What does this mean for U.S. and European chemical companies and distributors?
It's a significant opportunity. The demand for high-purity C60 and other specialized materials for perovskite manufacturing is set to explode. Western chemical manufacturers with expertise in producing high-purity materials have a chance to become critical suppliers to this new global industry. Trading companies should be identifying these manufacturers now and establishing supply agreements. The value is shifting from bulk silicon to these enabling performance materials.
And this technology is also enabling entirely new markets, like agrivoltaics?
Yes. A new study from Cornell University is fascinating. They model using semi-transparent perovskite tandem cells over lettuce fields in the U.S. Their results project that this could offset 30.9 million tons of CO2 and save 840 million cubic meters of water annually.
How does it save water?
The partial shade from the panels reduces evaporation from the soil. Because perovskite's transparency can be tuned, you can create the optimal light conditions for crop growth while still generating a huge amount of power. For U.S. and European agricultural businesses, this presents a future where land is used for both food and energy production, creating a dual revenue stream and dramatically improving water efficiency, a critical issue in regions like the American West.
Okay, Troy, an incredible amount of information this week. Let's boil it down. What is the strategic summary for our listeners?
I see three key takeaways from this week's developments.
First, the tipping point for perovskite solar has passed. Module efficiencies approaching 30% are now commercially available, not just lab records. This immediately changes the economics of any industrial-scale solar project. Second, China is executing a national strategy to dominate GW-scale mass production. This will create immense price and supply pressure on Western markets, but also an opportunity for savvy distributors to source next-generation products.
And the third takeaway?
The Western competitive strategy is crystallizing. It's not about matching China factory for factory. It's about a stealth disruption, upgrading existing silicon manufacturing lines with perovskite layers backed by policy like the U.S. Inflation Reduction Act. This creates a path for companies like Hanwha Qcells and Oxford PV to compete on technology and quality.
So what's the one thing executives should be doing right now?
They need to task their strategy and procurement teams to reevaluate all energy and sourcing plans for 2027 and beyond. The performance benchmarks and supplier landscape for solar have fundamentally changed in the last 6 months. Assumptions based on old silicon-only technology will lead to uncompetitive investments.
A clear and urgent message. That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. Thank you for the analysis, Troy.
My pleasure, Susie.
And thank you for tuning in to Troy Technical Intelligence. To make sure you never miss an episode, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back next week with another essential briefing to keep you ahead of the curve.